Isn't it good to know that the Lord is with us? No matter what, He's with us. But why do I know that? Because He promised. We need to put our faith in what God promises and nothing else. Not in our own faithfulness, not in our ability to believe, but in His faithfulness, that He will do what He promises He will do. And it doesn't matter how it looks or how I feel. He's faithful to confirm His word in our lives. Title of the message this morning is "It's Your Time to Shine." I was thinking about a song we did a few years ago. We need to resurrect it from the archives and blow the dust off of it. But it's your time to shine. We were born for such a time as this. Hallelujah. He didn't say one of these days is your time to shine. Now is the time that we need to shine. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. And salvation means a complete salvation, healing, deliverance. All that God does is freely available to us today in Christ. And we enter with that gratitude. Amen. And we make a withdrawal with faith. You know, that the key is faith to make the withdrawal from heaven. And so we got to get over or get past ourselves in order to receive. Because often we have conditions on things in our own minds that can interfere with us receiving. And Jesus said, unless you become converted as like a child, you will not enter the kingdom. Amen. And how many know that we have to have a simple childlike faith when it comes to receiving from the Lord? It's really, God did not make it difficult. The problem is we make it difficult. And by doing so, we shut off heaven. Amen. So we just need to come to Him as children before a Father who cares. He said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those, right? Good gifts to His children. That's us. In Galatians 3:2, Paul asked this question to the believers. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? In other words, did you earn your salvation by adhering to the law of Moses, or did you receive it by faith and what God promised? The answer is obvious, isn't it? And he had to remind the Galatians because they had begun to do well in the Spirit by simply trusting in the word of the Lord and moving accordingly, living accordingly, to where now they put themselves in the position of self-savior and came back under the yoke and the heavy yoke of law and performance and rules, regulations, instead of the gentle yoke of Christ, which is the new law that we live under today. It's called the law of the Spirit. Amen? Law of the Spirit of life in Christ. It is the yoke of Jesus that we take upon ourselves. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Under the law, it was like being under a hard taskmaster with all the regulations, the rules, the 613, whatever it was, of the laws that it was impossible for us to live up to. And the law was there actually to point out the fact that you could not live up to all of the standards, amen, or the standard that God had set. So everyone would become, in a sense, aware that they had fallen short of what? The glory of God. So we would turn to the Lord for refuge, for rest for our souls. Take my yoke upon you, he said. You've been working really hard at it, but in yourself you have no strength to live up to the standards that are expected of you. And so Jesus himself went before us as a forerunner, having fulfilled all righteousness, having lived up to every standard according to the law of Moses. Amen. And then he went to the cross. And that which was written against us, all the trespasses under that system, amen, under the law, amen, were taken out of the way and nailed to the cross. They were finished in the work of Christ on the cross. So now today, what God does is He places His Spirit within our hearts.
Amen.
Amen? And He writes that law where? On the tablets of our hearts. So the law we now live according to is the law or the rule of the Spirit. And when you live in the Spirit, you have power over yourself, over your outer man, to control what you do in your outer man and the man that is in the world, if you will, that contacts the outer world. Amen. So it's by the Spirit, amen, that we have life and peace. But under the law, there was only an awareness of sin, condemnation, guilt, shame. Amen. But that was, again, to point out to people that we cannot be righteous against apart from Him who is righteous. He is our righteousness. I'm only righteous because Christ makes me righteous. When my heart is made right with Him, when I'm in right standing with Him, my desires change. I want to live a life that pleases God. Amen?
Amen.
If you don't care, then you may not be born again. Amen? But when you're born again and the Spirit of Christ comes to dwell within you, you do care about how you live, and it bothers you when you fall into sin. Come on, somebody. And you can't live comfortably in that anymore because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ is written in your heart. And you know when you trespass, amen, against what the Lord has for you, His standard for you, amen, is to listen to His voice. That was what it was all about from the beginning, is that man would have communion, fellowship with the Lord, that they would know the voice of the Lord and that we would walk with Him in a relationship. And then he asked another question. He said, I ask you again in verse 5, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law?
No.
Of course not, right? It is because you believe the message you heard about Christ. So in the same way, Abraham believed God and God counted him as righteous because of what? Because of his faith. For the just shall live by faith. You see, we cannot, again, mix the two together. You can't live under the law of Moses and live in grace at the same time. Amen?
Amen.
The New Testament is in effect, and testator means that it is a new contract. Amen?
Amen.
It is like a will that had been written. Amen? And it didn't come into effect until the death of the testator. Amen? And that was our Lord. When at His death, amen, the New Testament was now put into effect. And today we live under the New Testament, which is now the law or the rule of the Spirit. Amen. Because by the works of the law of Moses, now because the testator has died, has paid the price, has gone into heaven itself. Amen. If we try to live under the law, we'll perish. It is impossible for us to live under the law of Moses and by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Remember, Abraham preceded the law of Moses, and Abraham was considered righteous for one reason. That is because he believed what God said. All right? God gave Abraham a promise that through his seed, right, he would have a son. How many know his name was Isaac, right? But he was a miracle son because he and his wife Sarah were well beyond childbearing years when the promise came, all right? And of course, if you read the story, you know that Abraham and Sarah thought maybe God needed a little help with the promise. And they had an Ishmael, and there's still a problem today because whenever we act out in the flesh or do something in the flesh, even if we think it's God's will, it causes problems. But the promise of God to us today, to the New Testament believer, is the Holy Spirit. That is the promise of the Father. When we receive Him, we receive life. We receive the Comforter. We receive the Teacher. Amen. The Instructor. Amen. He will lead you into all truth, Jesus said. He said, I'm with you, but I shall be in you. How? By His Spirit. The Spirit of Christ in us is the Holy Spirit that we receive when we're born again. Amen. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of the Lord in them, they do not belong to Christ. So you must be born again to get your foot in the door. Amen. And if you live in the Spirit, then we must also what? Walk. This is what needs to happen. We live in the Spirit, but we must also what? Walk in the Spirit. So it's possible to be in the Spirit, but not walk accordingly. So just because we have received the Holy Spirit of God does not necessarily mean we are working with Him. Our part is to yield to Him by submitting to His authority. And that is Galatians 5:25. So it really means to allow Him to have His way in us. It's to remain in communion with Him and to involve Him in all of our decisions because it is a marriage. Amen. How many are married here or have been married? You understand, amen, that it's a covenant. Amen. The two become one. And therefore, if you're going to make any major decisions, you better make sure that the other knows what is going on. Amen. Or there's going to be dysfunction. There's going to be a problem. And so God wants us to be in partnership with Him and to acknowledge Him, involve Him in our decisions. And so walking in the Spirit means that I have to deny that part of me, okay, that's in opposition to what God wants. I have to deny the self-life, and I have to treat it as being dead. So, in other words, you cannot be occupied with sin and with the Lord at the same time. And again, it's possible to possess the power of God in our lives, but not be operating in the power of God. We have a part in this. And that is we need to respond to the wooings, if you will, the promptings of the Holy Spirit. We pray, we ask God for revelation as to what He wants us to do. And when He gives you an instruction, then you must act upon the instruction. Otherwise, you're only a hearer of the word and not a doer. Amen. And you're deceiving yourself. And sometimes we're asking God to give us more when we haven't been faithful with what He's already given us. So when the Holy Spirit works out of our lives, we can talk about the anointing. That's really what the working of the Spirit of God is the anointing in our lives. It's the outworking of the Spirit. All right? And the anointing is released or activated by faith. All right? So God wants every one of us, His people, to be activated in the Spirit. He wants His people active for Him, right? He wants us to be doers of His Word. Our responsibility is to stir up, remember. Have you heard this before? Stir up the gift of God within you. All right? It's not enough just to hear another message about this. It's coming to a place where faith awakes my heart to action. Because faith is really a verb. It requires an action. Faith without works is dead. So Paul, again, I want to read this again. He reminded Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:6, stir up the gift of God which is in you. That was his responsibility. Through the laying on of my hands. He had received an impartation. He had received the gift of God, all right? But he had to do something with it. He had to stir it up. So the gift of God can be dormant in your life, all right, unless you activate it by faith in God's word. God's word is God's instruction. When He speaks to us by the Spirit, amen, or maybe you're reading the word, amen, and God highlights something to you. Pay attention. He's given you an instruction. But we have to do something with it in order to see fruit, in order to see results. God wants to advance his kingdom, and he does that through you and I. But we need to be faithful. He's always faithful. But we need to be faithful to do what he shows us to do. Elisha. You remember Elisha? You all remember this. He activated the gift of God by an action, by faith. When he struck the water, remember? And he said, "Where is the God of Elijah?" He took up the mantle, but he didn't just take up the mantle. He did something with it. Do you understand? You can be in the Spirit, but not walk by the Spirit. 2 Kings 2:14, "Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, and he said something too. He spoke. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over." So again, it's our faith in God's promises that activates God's power in us and puts it to work in our lives. God wants to save people. He wants to heal. Amen. He wants to deliver people from Satan's power. So God sends us his word. All right. The word of God produces faith in our hearts, and our faith in God is the victory that overcomes the world. Once we receive that word, amen, if we're willing to be doers of that word, then God will release his anointing and confirm that word with accompanying signs. Right after Paul had told Timothy to stir up the gift of God that was in him. And remember, that has to do with bellows on a flame, right? Or on an ember in a hearth, right? You got to, he says, stir it up. Stir it up. Hallelujah. Right after he told him that, in 2 Timothy 1:7, he says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now, why did he say that? Because naturally, Timothy was a shy person. He was a timid individual. So he needed to stir up the gift of God in him, because it was by the grace of God that he was going to be able to overcome his shyness and accomplish the will of God for his life. Are you hearing me? God wants us out of the shell. We've been born again, amen? Amen? The Spirit of Christ comes to dwell within us. But to those who believe in me, as the Scripture says, out of their belly will flow. There's an outflowing and a working of the anointing, right? Rivers of living water. He's speaking of the Holy Spirit. So he said, listen, God has not given you a spirit of fear, Timothy. Amen? Because the devil wants to shut you and I down through fear. He wants to shut down your faith. He wants you to doubt that God will come through for you. And he looks for ways to rob you of your confidence in God. Through lies. Through propaganda. Misinformation. You ever heard that word? So you won't serve the Lord. He'll say stuff like, nothing will happen. You'll embarrass yourself. Ever heard that one? You'll look like a fool. Can I make a suggestion today? Let's get over ourselves. That's the problem. Amen. He wants to see, the devil wants us to get focused on ourselves. Self-conscious, you know, rather than on Jesus and his purposes for us. Is this helpful? I hope it is. I have to remind myself too by looking into the word, amen? The mirror of the word. But you and I are responsible for what God has invested in us. We're given a stewardship over that. 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a gift. So if you're in Christ today, you have at least a gift that God wants you to put to use. Do something with it. speak the word or strike the water or pray for somebody, amen? Encourage somebody, help somebody as a good steward of the manifold grace of God. And again, I say this often, but we do not have to keep asking God for what we already possess. Listen, we are complete in Christ in whom dwells all the fullness. Christ in you, the hope of glory. All that we have need of is available freely through Christ. He's made available to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And what? Through the knowledge of Him, as we come to a knowledge of who we are in Christ, who He is in us, and what God has freely made available to us. And by faith, we make that withdrawal. And we put to work, amen, what He's placed within us for the advancement of His kingdom and for His glory. We need to activate the gift of God. Again, that's already in us. Remember when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead? I always talk about Lazarus coming from the dead because it's an awesome story. But he first prayed to the Father, and then he did something else. He took a step of action. Remember that? In John 11:41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. What's that? That's a prayer of faith. He's acknowledging, Father, I know you hear me. When we pray, we should pray like that. Lord, thank you that you hear me. And you're not hearing me because I'm good, but because your blood covers me, amen? And I can now come before you with confidence. All right? You make me good. You qualify me for your presence. And therefore, God's hearing my prayers. Does God hear your prayers? Well, He does if you believe that He does. Because faith honors Him. Faith is acknowledging that what God promises He will do. What He says He means. In verse 42, I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this. Why? He was trying to produce faith in their hearts, that they may believe that you sent me. Verse 43, now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. What did he do? He activated the power of God by a command. Sometimes you need to speak a command to a situation. Sometimes you need to tell the mountain to move. Amen. It was cute. The other night we had somebody come in here, and just before she left out, they had to leave early, and I went back. She says, I remember you told me I speak to that mountain and it's going to move. She was about, 12, 13 years old. And so she was really adamant that mountain was going to move. I said, did it move? She says, no. I said, well, ask your parents about that when you get home. There's a lesson about that. Amen. You see, we have authority over what God puts under our authority. Amen. And what God has put under our authority is the enemy of our soul. All right? You and I in Christ have been authorized as children of God, all right, to take authority over demonic spirits. Isn't that right? Do you believe that God can use you to heal the sick? Yes, because it's by faith and what God promises. And it requires an action on our part to do something. Maybe to lay hands. Amen. Mark 16. They shall lay hands on the sick and they will what? Recover. How about speaking to it? Sometimes spirits or demons cause sickness in people. And if you deal with the spirit, they get healed. But it requires action. Stretch forth your hand. And as he took step of action, his hand was restored. Remember? In John 11:44, and he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Now, Jesus knew this was going to happen. How many know that Jesus just didn't go down to the graveyard and think, I think I'll raise some people from the dead today? No. He did what the Father revealed to him by revelation. So in John 11:21, this was previous to this. Martha said to Jesus, because Jesus, you remember, he continued four more days doing ministry. When they said to Jesus, our brother Lazarus is sick. And Jesus didn't stop what he was doing and run over there. Why? Because he was always in the timing of the Lord. He walked, if you will, in the Spirit. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God. Now, here is a word of faith. God will give you. And then Jesus said, listen, your brother will rise again. What did she say? She said, Lord, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. How many know that we have an intercessor? We have an advocate with the Father. We have an intermediator, amen, between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who represents us as our high priest, and we can come to the Father through Jesus with our requests. The first thing he did was he asked, he prayed, and then he commanded. Hear me. We ask, and when you ask, he said, you shall receive. And you receive simply by faith, that believing that what I ask God, according to his will, I will receive. Amen. Does God want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. Sometimes people, they finally receive the filling of the Holy Spirit when they come to a place where they actually believe that what they asked for, they got. Imagine that. You have to sometimes just say, listen, did you ask for it? Well, did you receive it? Well, I don't know. Well, start believing God and start thanking him for what you receive by faith. You see, you can receive the Spirit, amen, but not necessarily operate in the Spirit. And so there are people who come and they ask Jesus to come into their lives, or they ask God to fill them with his Spirit, amen, but they don't do anything with it. We need to be doers of the word. And when it comes to receiving from God, Jesus said this in Luke 11:10, for everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. He didn't say if, he just said that's how it works. Because what we receive from God is always by simple faith, childlike faith, that what I ask my Father for, amen, if it's something I need, he'll give it to me. If it's what he wants for me, he'll give it to me. And he said, you fathers, if your children ask for bread, do you give them a stone? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? No, of course not, right? If they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, what does Jesus say in that? He said, listen, you're not receiving from God based upon your own merits. He said, you sinners know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? So it's not based upon my merits. It's based upon faith in God's promise. And faith honors God. Faith pleases God. In fact, the only way to please God is by trusting him, believing him. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For those who come to God must believe what? That he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So if we are spirit-filled believers here, the Spirit of Christ is in us, the Holy Spirit's in us, amen, then the power of God is always present in us. Why? Because God promises to always be with us. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. It is his promise. So what we need to do is activate the power of God in our lives by obeying his voice. Remember Ezekiel? God instructed him to speak to the dry bones. Ezekiel 37 and verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded. He didn't go around naming and claiming this and that. He heard a word from the Lord. He got a revelation from the Lord, and he spoke what God told him to speak. Amen? And he said, I As I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Now think about this. If Ezekiel was only to pray, but not prophesy, as he was commanded, the Lord's purpose would not have come to pass. Ask, and you shall receive. Amen? But see, sometimes we're asking God to give us what we already have, but what we need to do is use what we've already received by obeying His voice now, stepping out in faith. And when we step out in faith, based upon the word or the promise of God, God will confirm His word. He'll confirm it. So Ezekiel was also instructed to call the breath of God, remember, from the four winds. And then to breathe into the dead bodies, for the wind to come and breathe into the dead bodies. In verse 10, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Now, think about this. Ezekiel spoke to two things. He spoke, first of all, to the breath, but then he spoke to the bones. All right? In other words, he spoke to the natural and the spiritual. Today, we call upon the name of the Lord. All right? We call upon the Holy Spirit, amen, the breath of God. And then we speak or prophesy His word to others, the natural man. And when we speak what God speaks, amen, it is life-giving. God's word is eternal. God's word is living. It's effective. It's powerful. It's life transformational. Amen. So when we speak what God tells us to speak, there will be results. There will be an effect. So we stir up the power of God within us through an exercise of our faith. Do you understand? We have to be exercising. We have to be doing the stuff. We can learn about it. We can talk about it. We can teach others about it. But are we actually living it? Come on. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. All right? Where has God assigned you in life? Where do you find yourself on a daily basis? We're supposed to be salt and light. Amen? Influencers in our homes, with our children, amen, with our families, right? Influencers in society, where we work, where we find ourselves, available for God. If God speaks a word to you, He says, I want you to say this word to this person, or I want you to go and I want you to pray for that person. If God's telling you to do it, it means that God is going to confirm His word and there's going to be a result. Something is good is going to happen. And that person will know that God is in you. And then you can point them to Jesus. How do we stir up the power of God? Exercising our faith. Well, we exercise our faith and stir up the power of God through prayer, through praise, through speaking the truth, and by taking authority over the enemy in Jesus' name. We need to be exercising our faith. We need to be practicing the faith. Here's another example. Remember the widow with the jar of oil in 2 Kings chapter 4. This was Elisha, the prophet Elisha. And the widow, she just needed to pour the oil she already possessed. All right? She already had the oil. But she had to do something with it in order to receive more. 2 Kings 4:3, then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons who brought the vessels to her. And she did what? She poured it out. What was she doing? She was exercising faith. She was being a doer of the word. She was following the instruction that God gave her through the prophet. And now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So what happened? The oil ceased. If you keep on pouring, they'll keep coming. There are empty vessels everywhere today. How many know? We're surrounded with people who are empty vessels, trying to fill themselves up with the world and all the things the world can offer, but never being satisfied. You and I know the answer. We know the truth. We know the way. We know Jesus. We have the answer for the world. He is the answer. They don't possess life in them, but God is looking for those who will go in His name and pour out His life into others. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. God's looking for someone who will go. If you've received the Holy Spirit, then God wants you to allow the Holy Spirit, His Spirit, to work through your life. I believe so many of God's people are just not even aware of what God freely makes available to them and what God is actually expecting of them. Come on. And sometimes they're taught that it's not, well, it's just not for today. We just sit around and sing Kumbaya and hope that we'll just have patience through it all. There's times when God wants to do a miracle. God wants to heal somebody. Sometimes we have to go through a valley. Sometimes we have to go through some stuff. Amen. You have to write out some things in your life because God's going to develop character through that. I believe that. But I do believe that God can heal, amen, and God can save, and God can deliver every captive. I don't believe it's God's will, by the way, that anyone should be bound by the devil. Amen? None of God's people should be bound by the devil. Come on. Jesus has overcome the enemy of our soul. He has spoiled principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness. He has been given the name above every name. Hallelujah. In His name, amen, you take authority, even in your own life. Don't tolerate the enemy. I was talking to someone recently who just was sharing with me how they've been tormented by all these thoughts. How many beside myself have ever had that happen? And sometimes it takes us a while before we get it and say, wait a minute, this ain't from God. Why am I tolerating this? Right? And we start to take authority. We start to resist the devil. We tell him flat out, I rebuke you. I reject you, Satan, in Jesus' name. I won't tolerate it. Get out in Jesus' name. Come on. God authorizes you to enforce the victory in your life. Amen. And tell them giants to get out of your way. You know what? You can miss your calling if you give in to the fear of man. You'll never see a miracle or bear any fruit playing it safe. I'm just going to stay in the boat. I'll let Peter get out there on the water, but I'm just going to sit here in the boat. Come on. We criticize, oh, Peter didn't have any faith. He looked at the wind and the waves and he sunk. Oh, Peter got out of the boat. I want to be a Peter, amen. Just get out of the boat. Get on the water, amen. If God tells you get on the water, get on the water. He called him. He said, come. Don't allow fear to paralyze you. God's given you authority over it. That's why he told Timothy, he's not giving you that kind of spirit, but a spirit of power, dunamis, of love, perfect love, amen, and self-control, sound mind. We only fear failure or embarrassment when we are self-centered. Ouch. How many have ever said, I'm my own worst? When we are self-centered, prideful, then we're afraid of being embarrassed or failing or what will people think if I pray and nothing happens? Get over you. Don't look at you. Get you out of the picture. And if you're going to minister for God, amen, you got to get you out of the picture. You got to have an outward focus. Amen? And when we pour the oil, hallelujah, God is backing it up. And He's bringing more oil in. Are you hearing me? As you're faithful to pour, He'll give you more. That would make a good song. As you're faithful to pour, He'll give you more. Thank you, Lord. So let's get out and pour. Look for ways. Look for opportunities. Amen? See, many believers today would likely say, Lord, hear this, you divide the Red Sea. Well, Moses had to do something. He had to raise his rod, did he not? He had to take a step of faith. He had to exercise faith, and then God did His part. Or, Lord, the giant, kill the giant. No, He just needed somebody who will obey Him and have faith and believe that He had authority over that giant because he represented the Most High God. And that was David. He was not going to allow the giant, amen, to push him around because he knew his God would bring him into his hands. Or someone may say, well, you go ahead and pour the oil. I'm just going to play it safe. I'm just going to wait around for the rapture. How many know that God wants His people bearing fruit? Amen. He wants us advancing His kingdom, effecting change. Amen. So we've got to live in a state of readiness. We want to be available for God. Say, Lord, I'm available. Just show me what, when, and how. And if you're asking God for a gift, believe in your heart that you received it. And then start acting, moving, taking action. Amen. You got to exercise your faith. How many have sat in a service and really felt that God had a word for us? I really need to say this, but oh, I don't know. Lord, is that really you? And you're just mulling it over, and all of a sudden somebody else steps up and says the same word. And the Lord said, okay, I want you to learn from that. He's not going to discard you for that, but He wants you to learn that was me speaking to you. So next time when I'm speaking to you, I want you to be faithful to speak what I tell you to speak. Are you getting that? Amen? Amen. Or we may be thinking, well, if I say this and this isn't really, you know, of the Lord, then I'm going to look foolish. What does that mean? Pride. You can't be self-centered and be a minister for Christ. You need to say, Lord, what do you want me to say? It doesn't matter what people's opinion is. It's, Lord, what do you say? What do you want? That's what I want to do. And I tell you what, sometimes people will reject you. Some people will hate you for doing what God tells you to do. But God will favor you. God will promote you because He sees that He has a faithful steward over His investment. He has somebody that's going to do something with what they have received. Come on, they're going to take action. Some people have a gift to teach. Look for opportunities. There are opportunities, would you agree? It's not enough to say, well, I have this gift, but I'm fearful, and therefore I'm just going to go bury it. No, we need to do something with what God gives us to do. And fear is our enemy, amen? We're not to fear man. We're not to fear the devil. We're not to fear the darkness, amen? And the way that we overcome our fear is by faith in God, faith in the Lord, amen? So I know that greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And sometimes I need to confess that over my life. Amen? Sometimes when I'm feeling a little timid and shy, I need to confess the truth that God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You see, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Huh? It's our time to shine. The typical average believer today should be moving in the supernatural. There's a time to ask, but there's also the working out of our faith. Ask and you shall receive. But once you receive, now you say, Lord, how do I use this? Where can I use this? Open a door for me. Bring somebody into my path. It could be just going through the grocery line. There's somebody there. Or there's somebody behind the counter. Maybe they're having a bad day. Maybe God will have a word for them from you. Just a kind word of encouragement. Or maybe they're struggling physically. Maybe they're in a sling or something. There's an opportunity. I've seen people healed that way. Have you? I remember one time I chased a guy down. No, I didn't. And I'm not naturally that way, but you know, I really felt the Lord pressing me to talk to this guy. And he was in the fruit department or something. He was looking at fruit, but he's like, oh. So anyways, I just felt like the Lord is saying, now I want you to go over and pray for him. So I went over and prayed for him, you know, and God touched him right there. And then I found out that he was a kind of a nominal Christian, kind of backslidden. But that can speak volumes to somebody, that God sent somebody to me just to remind me that I care about you. We simply need to step out and do what the Lord has already told us to do in his name. You know the 120 in the upper room in Acts 2. They didn't remain in the upper room. Come on. They were world changers. They received the power of the anointing and they went and they exercised faith in Jesus' name and the gospel. Amen. The kingdom was advanced. They gathered, they prayed, they praised the Lord, they preached the kingdom, they cast out demons, they healed the sick, they raised the dead, and the kingdom of God was advanced in the earth. So when we pray, we should expect. We should have an expectation, amen, kind of like a quarterback anticipating the ball. Anytime now, anytime. Ask God for revelation. Ask him how to pray and what to pray for, that you may know the will. And if you ask anything according to his will, he hears you. Amen. So whenever our faith is based on the word of God, we can have confidence that he will intervene. So as you pray, according to God's word, the Holy Spirit will give you revelation as to his will. And if you know it's his will, then you can have confidence that God will do what he said he would do. Sometimes God will give you a word of knowledge. You may not even know what that is, except you just got this strong impression that I'm supposed to pray for this person. And then you have to get a hold of fear and say, well, fear of failure, fear of this, or fear of that, and say, no. Lord, what are you saying? And I find that when I take a step of faith in the direction of what God has told me to do, that the supernatural confidence, the boldness of God comes upon me. Come on. And if it's a word from the Lord, by the way, if it's a word of knowledge, there will be also the confirmation of that word. You see, some people will get out there with a generality. Well, I know there's somebody here with a pain somewhere in your body. I just got a word of knowledge. You know, how did you know that? You know, but the Holy Spirit will give specific instructions, you know. And it may be that God wants you just to kind of do a general prayer for people that are in pain. We've done that here. But if it's a word from the Lord, he will confirm that word. Somebody will say, well, I feel somebody here has got a shoulder, you know, a problem with your shoulder. That's your right shoulder. Maybe they got a word of knowledge, you know. And if they call that out, God's going to confirm that word. If it's not confirmed, then it wasn't a word from the Lord. But you have to call it out. You have to speak it out. I'm going to finish with this. It is faith that connects us to the Spirit of the Lord. All right? To the power of God. And the power of God effects change. Faith in God's promise. It's our time to shine. Hallelujah. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Oh God. Thank you, Jesus.